As we said earlier in the show, starting August 1st, people 21 and older in Minnesota will have a legal right to consume and possess marijuana up to 2 ounces. This is something that, of course, passed the legislature last session, was a bit of a controversial and divisive issue, but it did pass, and it will become law on August 1st. And in studio with us is Winona Police Chief Tom Williams. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. I'm doing very well, thank you.
So we wanted to get Tom's perspective on how this legalization starting on August 1st will affect law enforcement. Tom, how is your department, your officers, how are you preparing for this?
The big thing, Jason, is we're all trying to wrap our heads around the legislation and the laws that are associated with possession and use of cannabis now that it's becoming legal on August 1st. A lot of questions have surrounded traffic law enforcement and how that's going to look with driving while impaired laws and how our officers are going to relate to that. So the truth is that our officers have been enforcing impaired driving laws ever since DUI has become a topic.
Sure.
With the increase of marijuana and other illegal drugs such as methamphetamine and heroin and that type of things, as well as prescription medications, drivers are oftentimes driving under the influence of those controlled substances, and our officers have learned to recognize those and are testing and evaluating and making arrests for those.
How much of a challenge is it, you know, when your officers pull over somebody for and they suspect them of being under the influence of alcohol, you guys have a pretty standardized, kind of standardized format that you use to test people for what their alcohol level is. There isn't really a kind of standardized, field sobriety test for marijuana. What challenges will that present, and how will your officers handle that?
Again, Jason, we go back to the standpoint of primarily is what is the stop for? And you look at it from the standpoint, is it driving conduct? Do you see the vehicle crossing the center line? Is it driving extremely slow, well below the speed limit? Is it staying stopped at a green light for an extended period of time, failure to signal? All those are indicators that there may be something wrong with the driver at the time. Or it could simply be a headlight or a taillight out, but then once the officer makes contact with the driver, they immediately start looking for visual cues, such as slurred speech, bloodshot, watery eyes, dilated pupils,
right.
Poor manual dexterity, cues inside the vehicle. Is there drug paraphernalia within plain sight of the officer? Admissions from the driver. Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? When's the last time that you smoked marijuana? When was the last time you had your last drink?
Sure.
So I think it's just kind of expanding and looking to see what the observations are. So those things really don't change that much. The aspect of the odor of marijuana, obviously, you can't be smoking marijuana in a motor vehicle, nor can you be drinking in a motor vehicle, but the odor of alcohol and the odor of marijuana are distinct, so you're able to determine
sure.
those. Probably the primary thing that officers have is that we have a roadside test, a preliminary breath test that we're able to administer to drivers that give us an immediate reading. Is the individual at a 0.06? Is the individual at a 0.16?
Yeah.
Which helps us determine that probable cause. As of today, we do not have that roadside test for marijuana.
Right. And that's kind of what I was getting at. That, and from what I hear, some of those tests are in development. There could possibly be roadside tests that you guys will have going forward, correct?
That is correct. There is a pilot program that's going to last for approximately 1 year that is a saliva test that is administered roadside. Because it is a pilot test, it's going to be completely voluntary for any drivers.
Oh, okay.
That are requested to submit to that from a peace officer that's investigating a DUI violation. The thing with that is, Jason, is that it's completely voluntary. The driver does not have to give a sample to the officer. And if they so choose, those results will not be allowed in any court of law. So there will be nothing.
Okay.
They're just using it for data analysis and data collection.
So here's another thing that I was, you know, in doing some research on this, as I'm sure you've done a lot of research on it as well. You know, how much do you expect there to be issues or, you know, I guess, you know, when some of these cases try to be prosecuted going forward, that seems like it's going to be an issue for you, for county prosecutors, because there's going to be a lot of loopholes, so to speak, with some of the people you might try to prosecute for this going forward.
Yes, and we have had conversations with our prosecutors in light of the fact that we knew that legal cannabis consumption would be taking place. The biggest thing is to demonstrate impairment. And with that, the state has realized the fact that, you know, your standardized testing has to be expanded somewhat. So what they have done is they have allocated $10 million for the first year to have officers become what are called DREs, or drug recognition evaluators.
Okay.
That is a class that is 9 days in the classroom, and then typically 4 days kind of clinical, if you will, where officers are sent to primarily metropolitan locations to actually do evaluations on individuals who are under the influence of some type of controlled substance. And then, just as the term states, they evaluate what controlled substance that person might be under. Sure. So they also start looking at cues such as dilated pupils, heart rate, pulse, blood pressure, eye flutter, and those types of things. So these are scientific cues that the officer is able to look at. So $10 million to the first year for police officers to go, and then $5 million a year for subsequent years. Again, trying to get out in front of this and trying to be able to do an evaluation to actually be able to demonstrate impairment based on those cues.
Are there any plans for any of your officers to attend these DRE sessions?
We actually have one officer currently certified as a DRE. We are going to have another one actually Monday, the 31st of July, so that'll be the second one. Winona County has 4 DREs, if I'm not mistaken. I believe St. Charles PD has 1. And we also have a Minnesota State Patrol trooper who is stationed in the Winona area that's also a DRE. Recent staff meeting, we have said to our officers that this obviously is the future, and individuals that are interested in pursuing this, we're strongly encouraging that.
So it's something in the future you would like to see a lot of your officers have that certification as a DRE.
And I think that probably moving forward, you'll start seeing that in the law enforcement skills program. It is obviously an additional 3 weeks that has to be added on. And obviously the travel to a metropolitan area, our officer actually went to Philadelphia for 4 days.
Okay. I was talking about this earlier in the show about how, you know, as far as the parameters of where you can smoke marijuana, you know, a lot of that will be decided on a local level, right? Local cities, local towns, local municipalities will kind of decide that on their own. And a lot of that is in flux. I think I saw that there are several towns, including Rochester, that have, you know, put some bans in place. But if I'm at a bar, say, right, I'm drinking a beer, I could step outside. If I smoke cigarettes, I could step outside and smoke a cigarette. Right now, can I step outside and just smoke a joint?
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
Okay.
The only parameters right now, Jason, that really, within the city of Winona at least, is that wherever it's prohibited by the Clean Indoor Air Act,
right,
restaurants, enclosed buildings, whatever it happens to be, it follows basically those same parameters.
Okay.
Your private residence, obviously, private property that's not normally accessible by the public, or other events that are licensed, which again, that'll be down the road if you start having, let's just throughout an event, Steamboat Days, that they are licensed to then have the ability to have the consumption of cannabis products, then that's acceptable. But you could walk down the sidewalk as it stands right now today, or I'm sorry, on the 1st of August,
right,
you could walk down the street smoking a joint.
If I'm driving in a car, if I'm a passenger in a car, can I smoke a joint?
No, you cannot. You cannot possess or consume marijuana in a motor vehicle. It basically mirrors the open bottle law. So if you have an open container of marijuana, it's outside of its original packaging, or that packaging happens to be open and it's in the passenger compartment of the vehicle, that is considered illegal and it's a misdemeanor. No different than having an open container of beer or an open container of vodka.
Okay, but if I had a sealed bag of marijuana and it's less than 2 ounces, and it's sitting in my glove compartment or in my car console, that's legal.
That is legal. And if you have an open bag of marijuana, the glove compartment is not considered to be, I should say, it is considered to be still within the passenger compartment of the vehicle. If you're, so it needs to be in the trunk, or if you have a vehicle that's not equipped with a trunk, it has to be in the very far end. If you have a van, for instance, it needs to be in that very far back storage area.
So as far away from the driver as possible is kind of the deal. Yeah. Okay. So this was an interesting loophole that I saw in it is if you guys, if your officers are out and you know, say you catch some kids drinking beer, right? Kids under 21, right? That's a ticket, right? That's a misdemeanor for kids. But right now, the way it stands, there is no repercussions if you catch a kid smoking a joint, right?
And that's very interesting that you bring that up, Jason, because I've had this conversation this week with several of our prosecutors from the standpoint if an individual is walking down the sidewalk with an open can of beer and smoking a marijuana cigarette, you can issue them a citation for the open container or the possession of the alcohol, which is a misdemeanor. And even though it's illegal for the individual under 21 years of age to be possessing that marijuana cigarette, there's no penalty for it.
Right.
But it's illegal to possess, but there's no penalty.
Okay. Do you see that? Do you see this law being, I don't know, you know, tweaked, changed? Because it seems like it's there are a lot of moving parts and loopholes. And I'm sure from a law enforcement perspective, you would like some of those loopholes to be, you know, cleaned up and changed. But how do you see this kind of changing and evolving maybe as we go forward?
I think it probably goes with a lot of laws, Jason. Ultimately, what happens is that an officer issues a citation or does something based on their knowledge at the time. Individual doesn't agree with that. It goes through the court system. They plead not guilty, and then it goes up the chain, and ultimately the court decides or makes a decision on it. The legislature could also realize that, you know, next session, say, we've been hearing a lot of problems that are associated with possession. Mm-hmm. By individuals under 21 years of age with no penalty, or there's a lot of problems with growing or transporting, whatever it happens to be, and then they can modify the statute. So it definitely is going to undergo a lot of change and scrutiny, I think, over the next several years.
Yeah. Do you know, I think we've heard the term for a long time, gateway drug, you know, and that's kind of how marijuana has been perceived, I guess, for several decades now. You know, and that's kind of one of those terms that, you know, some people agree with, other people say it's overblown. Do you, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, from what you've seen over your career in law enforcement, is that something that is actually viable, that marijuana is kind of a gateway drug to other, you know, say harder drugs, more serious drugs?
In my personal opinion, I would have to say yes, Jason. Typically, you know, it's that progression. It's alcohol, marijuana, and then you start moving into the harder controlled substance or narcotics.
Okay. One last thing I'll ask you. I know you got to get out of here. Chief Tom Williams is our guest. Winona Police Chief Tom Williams. We're talking about the coming August 1st deadline for marijuana to become legal in Minnesota. He's given us his perspective from a law enforcement point of view. Last thing I'll ask you is I'd read about this that, you know, alcohol is out of your system fairly quickly, right? THC remains in THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, in cannabis, stays in your system for a long time. So if you do a blood test or whatever, you do that, you can't really prove that somebody has been smoking marijuana at a recent time or anything like that. How much of an issue does that present, you know, especially from a traffic stop point of view?
And that again goes back to the standpoint, Jason, is the per se law in the state of Minnesota is 0.08. So obviously you have a quantifiable amount.
Right.
And it's either blood, breath, or urine. As you mentioned, THC does stay in your bloodstream for a period of time. The key to this again is going to be showing impairment. Is it going to be based on driving conduct? Is it going to be then on being able to show that the individual is under the influence is at the time of driving the motor vehicle? Will the legislature at some stage of the game come down and say X amount of a THC in your system within 2 hours of driving is considered illegal? 0.08 for alcohol or X number of milliliters of THC per whatever, you know, scientifically.
Would that help you guys to have that specific delineation?
I think it would help immensely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate you so much. Appreciate your perspective. That is Winona Police Chief Tom Williams coming in to talk about marijuana legalization, which, of course, marijuana becomes legal in Minnesota on August 1st. And we just wanted to get his perspective from a law enforcement point of view, some of the challenges and issues that they're going to face with that and how they're going to deal with them going forward.